Good morning. Trust that you're well. So I greet you in the name of the Lord, and it's great to be in the house of God. As much as we are able to, very, very likely, probably 99% likely that we're going to meet in the auditorium next Sunday, but we'll let everybody know that so that we can do it properly with the regulations of the government. So when you come in, if we do come in, I'm pretty sure we're going to, then the families can sit together. But if you're not family, you're not part of a, you're part of a different bubble, then you have to maintain the social distance. But we'll arrange the chairs so that people can sit at 10 in groups, and then we can start meeting together come Sunday with a lot of prayer, hopefully, all right? Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We bless you today. Thank you for the moment that we're given to honor you and to worship you. We thank you for the time in your presence. Father, we pray now that you will grant us utterances in the Holy Spirit, that you will minister to us your word, Lord God. Anoint us, Father God. Anoint me to share. Anoint your people to hear. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're talking on meekness, and last week we talked on, we cited two examples from the word that we shared last week, one from the Old Testament and one from the New. Jesus Christ introducing himself when he said, I am meek and lowly, and you will find rest for your soul if you exchange your yoke for mine. And then we cited the example in the Old Testament of Moses, who wrote Numbers chapter 12 and said, the man Moses was the meekest man in all the earth above anybody else. So we have Moses in the old and Jesus in the new that are reconciled in a sense through this quality of meekness. Outside of Jesus Christ, Solomon is the most wisest man that ever lived. Outside of Jesus Christ, Jephthah is the most rejected man that ever lived. Outside of Jesus Christ, Moses, according to the scriptures, is the meekest man that ever lived. Moses was the one that gave us the law, and Jesus Christ was the one that gave us life. And John the Beloved said this, the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Two men that are meek. One gave the law so that people who practice the law can find fulfillment, glorify God, and live a great life. The other giving grace and truth. The law came by one man who was meek. Grace and truth came by another man who was meek. Now, I'm not saying that Moses and Jesus are equal, because they're not. Jesus created Moses. But Moses was the man, the Bible tells us, who was meek, and Christ as a man was also very meek. And there are things about Jesus and Moses that are quite unique. The Bible says Moses speaks to God face to face like a man speaks to his friend. That's a great privilege and a great honor for a human being to be able to talk to God face to face. And I don't think I will be going too far to the side by saying it will take meekness, a spirit of meekness in a human being to be able to come into the presence of God, to talk to God face to face. Now, we know that literally, Moses did not see the face of God, even though God said that. That Moses is the one that talks to me like a man talks to his friend, because we look at each other. But Moses, for many, the time that he was walking with God, had always wanted to see the glory of God. And then he said to God, can you show me your glory? Yeah. And the Bible says that God passed by and showed Moses his goodness. Now, you don't see goodness. You don't look at a chair and you say, that's a good chair. Or you don't look at a person, that's a good person. Because you don't know the person by just looking at them. But you can see the result of goodness. When you observe somebody doing something great, You observe somebody helping somebody else. You say, that's a good man. One day when a rich young ruler came to Jesus and he said, good sir, what shall I do and that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, are you calling me good? Because only God is good. And if God is the one that is good, are you saying that I'm God? Are you calling me good? Are you calling me God? And the Bible says that God said to Moses, I have put a place beside the rock, and you can hide in the cleft of the rock. I'll put my hand over your face, and I will pass by, and then I'm going to take my hand away, and you're going to see my back. You're going to see my goodness. Now, what did Moses see? Because the Bible says the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, the glory of God passed by and it was displayed in the back of God. What did Moses see? A man of meekness talking to his friend. But what did Moses see in the back of this God? I don't think I'll be going very far by saying this. I think Moses saw the stripes on Jesus' back. He saw the flesh hanging out, and he saw the result of the goodness of this God that the Bible says Moses forsook Egypt. He would rather suffer with the people of God because he felt that the reproaches of Christ was a far greater wealth than the wealth of Egypt. And I think Moses, even at that time, had an awareness of the cross and the glory of God, and he saw that in the back of Jesus Christ. And when he came down from the mountain, he had to cover his face, because the glory of God covered him. You can understand why Paul then said, if I'm going to glory, I'm going to glory in the cross where the world was crucified unto me and I unto the world. And as we come to communion today, what do you see? Because Moses saw the back of God and saw the glory of God. He saw the result of the goodness of Jesus. He saw the stripes on his back. And the glory of God fell on him. What do you see today as we come to communion? Let us remember that is by his stripes we were healed. The blood shed, his blood that was shed cleanses us from sin. And as we come to communion today, let us see the glory of God, the price that was paid on our behalf. And let us come with grace, with repentance, knowing that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. The goodness of God passed by, and Moses saw the result. And then he said, God, if you're not coming with me, I'm not going. I'd rather stay in the wilderness with you than stay in the presence of everybody else, because I've just seen your goodness. So we're talking on meekness. And as we shared last week and again just before, about the examples that the Bible gives us of somebody who is meek. Now, meek comes from a particular word in the Greek language as well as the Hebrew language. The Hebrew is the word oni or onov. Now, you understand that I'm not a Hebrew scholar, so if you understand Hebrew, you probably laugh at my Hebrew, because when I don't read Hebrew, but I can study the concordance. But what it says, it's somebody that has gone through the afflictions of life, and through the pain and the difficulty of going through life itself and yielding to the things of God, come out on the other side tempered by the affliction, now is meek. So meekness is not weakness. Meekness is something that is powerful. It's one of the most, it's a characteristic that you can't find every day. And even though the word is now used very differently today, meek is a very, very powerful thing. The word charity, for example, is now translated in 1 Corinthians 13. The original word was charity, now it's love. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, but the reason they put charity there originally is because it's a love that is practical. It's a love that is practiced every day. So people, when you say charity, it's a love that is lived. You can say, I love you, but you don't live it. You can say, I love my cat, but kick the cat. But charity is a love that is lived day by day. And because its meaning is now very changed, we use the word love in 1 Corinthians 13. The word meekness is now very different in its meaning in the evolution of terminologies. But the word meek is not weakness. The Greek word is praus. I'm not a Greek scholar. When I read Greek, it's all Greek to me. But the word is praus, and it is borrowed from a military context. It has to do with the taming of a wild animal, the taming of an animal like a horse, so that the horse can be used in battle. So many years ago, when they used to fight wars, they fight wars with horses and swords and spears. If you take one of the horses today to the war, they'll run away because they are not meek. And when the horse is broken and it's trained, they could say that horse is now meeked. Now, that's bad English for our context today. But it means the horse is now praus. The horse is now meek, and that horse can be used by her master in battle. That horse will follow instructions. The strength of that horse is now harnessed, and that horse is now meek. The Latin word is mansutus. Man meaning manual, manual or manufacture, something that you use the hand for. So when you are driving in a car that is not automatic, the gear lever is you're manually changed. So mansutus means hand or used to the hand. So mansutus, which means that something is used to the hand. So it also, again, means the breaking of a horse. So you take this wild animal and domesticate the animal. And the animal now is used to the hand of the master. And even though that animal used to be really wild and rebellious, that wild animal is now meek. They say that, there are quarter horses for you that are young and don't understand horses. That does not mean that we cut the horses into four. A quarter horse is a special kind of horse that is bred. And the reason they call it a quarter horse is because they bred it for race, powerful animal, and they race for a quarter of a mile. Now, many years back in the Arabian horses, there were things like that, even though quarter horse was, did not originate from there. But the Arabian horse is used to the desert and used to the voice, the hand of her master. That horse can go for days without drinking water. He's trained to be that way. But when that horse comes close to water, that horse can smell water and is now running to get some water to quench her thirst. When the master says something, even though that horse is so thirsty, that horse will never drink until the master says so. So you got this Greek word praus and this Latin word mansutus. It means that the strength of the horse is tamed. The strength of this animal is now harnessed. The power in that animal is phenomenal, but it's tamed, it's meeked, and is used to the hand of her master. What about us? The hands that hung us on the cross. Are you used to that hand, or do you do your own thing? Now, let me say something about a horse, even though I've already said something about horses. Let's something about the wild horse and the meek horse. A wild horse will never win a race. Yeah. And when people go and chase wild horses, you got a tame horse, a meek horse, that is broken, that is used to the hand of her master. The master is about 100 pounds sitting on that horse. The wild horse has nothing on it. This meek horse will always find this horse. Even though he's running on his own, the horse that is meek will always catch up to him. Why? Even though it's wild, it's powerful, it's strong, its strength is not harnessed. It's not meek. There are many Christians like that wild horse. And they will never win a race. They will come and say, well, God told me this, God told me that. I had to pray about it. You will never win a race because you're not meek. You haven't been harnessed. You don't like to come under authority. You don't like the teachers. You don't like the council. You don't like the pastor. You don't like anything. But you say you are a Christian and you want to do this. Can you imagine if the church, were all meek? Can you imagine a vision of that church? It'll just take off like a rocket. The problem is so many Christians, we are so self-willed that it's hard to be meek. Are you all right? You imagine a team that is meek, whether it's a football team or whatever kind of team or a leadership team, they can do anything. So Jesus coming down from the mountain and cast a demon out of a boy, and one day the centurion came and said, come and heal my servant. And then Jesus said, okay, I'm coming. And he said, no, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man. Why did Jesus say, whoa, you got more faith than anybody in Israel, including my disciples? What was the man like? Why did Jesus say that? Because that man was meek. He submitted himself to the authority of somebody else. And he said, I tell a soldier to go and he goes. I tell him to come and he comes. But when Caesar says something in Rome, I jump here in Galilee. And Jesus saw that and realized that that man was meek and said, come teach my church what faith is all about. Meekness is the taming of the will, the harnessing of your passion. When God comes and allows circumstances to harness you, You say of Joseph, he went from the pit to the prison to the palace. By the time Joseph got to the palace, he was meek. He can be used. He can listen to the master. And the Hebrew describing Oni said it's somebody that is totally yielded to the purpose of God. When a church understands the spirit of meekness, their whole strength is harnessed. That means their vision can take off. When a business has meekness, their strength is harnessed, the business can take off. A country that experiences meekness, because their inner capacity, their inner passion, their inner will is submitted to the will of another. But we are so powerful in our own self-will. Submission is submitting your mission under the mission of somebody else. And sometimes the military, the army, that is, most of it is secular, can do that better than the church. Many times the secular people can do that better than the church. But if the church could understand, no wonder Jesus said, "Come unto me, I am meek and lowly, you'll find rest for your soul." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Help us, Lord God, to submit ourselves under the hand of the Master, that we might be used to his hand. And I pray, Father, for those that are listening, that are hearing my voice, that, Lord, that there is a yielding, Lord God, to the purpose of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We pray, Father, for those that find themselves in difficulty because their wills come across a crossroad against the will of somebody else or your will. Pray, dear God, that there will be submission. There will be yielding. There will be humility so that meekness can be worked into our hearts and outworked out of our lives, that people will see the goodness of God in us. Father, I pray for those that are hearing that may not know you, that they will yield themselves, Lord God, to your purpose, to your training, because you desire to do us good and not evil, to give us a hope and a future. We thank you today. You are a good God to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, have a great Sunday, and don't eat too much. God bless you.